Adriana. I'm a fifth grader from Prospect Elementary, and you're listening to the West Ada Podcast.
I believe true success is not sacrificing in any area of your life. True success is not just for me winning championships. Although that's a huge part, and that's something I'm driven to do. But if I win championships, but I'm not the right husband, not the right father, not treating people in the community the right way, that's not success to me. Right.
Sure.
Success is being elite in what you do, whatever profession you're in. But it's also being an elite husband, elite father, elite in whatever those things outside of your profession are. That's true success to me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the West Ada Podcast. And listen, I know I sound like a broken record every time, but I'm not kidding you. I'm just so excited for you all to be able to hear this edition with Spencer Danielson.
Yeah, Coach Danielson, what an amazing man, a leader. Like, I don't even have a player on the BSU football team, and I feel like my mom heart is overjoyed that he's leading young men into this world. Like, almost who cares about football? He's developing great men.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think things you'll like about this episode is we talk about the kind of the high level stuff, the leadership stuff. We don't get into a whole lot of minutia on football for all the obvious reasons. But you, as West Ada families, leadership, why little things are big things.
Character, integrity.
Yeah, it was a really cool conversation. And I'll say this too. I espouse some of my own beliefs in this podcast. It has nothing to do with West Ada. But he is a huge man of faith, and he talks about that. That's who he is. And I think that authenticity of who he is, when he took over the job as the head coach at BSU, the players were like, this is our guy. Yep. And after talking to him for an hour, it's like, man, he is authentic.
He is. Yep. And he's good for our players. He's good for our community. We're great. We're glad to have him.
It's a great conversation. Here you go.
Coach Danielson, it's such an honor to have you here with us today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come out to West Ada and chat with us.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it, Katie, Ken. Thank you for letting me come out here and talk to you guys.
Oh, yeah. It was a hard fun. Twist our arm and go, Coach Danielson here.
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, I got to imagine the last 3 months or what has it been? A whirlwind.
Been running fast. I promise you that. Running fast.
What's it been like?
It's been awesome. I mean, we had such a great... Jeremiah Dickey, Marlene Trump, so tons of support. Our players, our staff have been amazing. My wife is the backbone of our family. She's been holding it down at home. So it's been fun. I mean, we're just excited to continue to push the envelope. I mean, God is so good, and we're not looking for anything, but we're just pushing. We're just pushing. Cool. And that's what we're excited about is even things that people say, well, we've never really done that here. I'm like, well we're going to start doing that here. And whatever it is, because we want to continue to push the envelope. And I believe that this is not only a great place to play college football, it's a great community.
Oh, yeah.
And me and my wife have fallen in love with this community. This has become home for us. And so we are running fast. We're not asking for permission. We're going.
I love that. Okay, yeah. So you mentioned you've made this your home, your community. You started with BSU as a grad assistant in 2017. So you moved to Boise to do that position, or you were already in a program at Boise State and got that position? How does that work?
Yeah, so I went to Azusa Pacific, which is a small Division II school in Los Angeles. That's where I met my wife, Rachel. And I knew I wanted to coach. I had some great coaches growing up that really impacted me. I was a business major. Initially, it was like, I always want to go make a lot of money being a businessman. And just as I went through it, just these coaches impacted my life, changed my life. And so throughout my time in college, I'm like, I want to coach. And so I got done playing in December, and I started coaching in January. I mean, it was right away.
Oh, wow. For Boise State.
At Azusa Pacific. And so and in small school football, so Division II, you got to do everything. I mean, you're picking up pizzas. You're lining the
what hat are you wearing today?
Yeah, I mean, what am I up to? You're running meetings in normal academic meeting rooms. You're doing a lot, but you just fall in love with the game. More importantly, fall in love with helping grow these young men, because I'm a product of a lot of people helping me grow, helping me develop. And so, coached at APU for 4 to 5 years, and then had an opportunity to come out to Boise State to be a grad assistant. Not from here. My dad's not a coach. There's no connection out here in regards to my family or affiliation. Had some people that gave me a shot and came out as a grad assistant in 2017. I remember telling my wife that we're moving to, I feel like this is where the Lord wants us to go. We prayed about it.
Right.
And I'm like, I think this is what we need to do. We just got married a year ago. And she's from Southern California, too. We met at Azusa Pacific. And so people thought we were moving to, like, Iraq. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's like,
Iowa, yeah. Where are you going? Yeah.
Where are you moving? Yeah, right. Like, what in the world? Yes. Yeah. And we loaded up the U-Haul. We brought our cat Moose with us. And the cat was going crazy the whole drive out. But we moved out here in winter of 2017 and just fell in love with the community, fell in love with the place, the people. And it's been an amazing journey. And so that's what got us out here in 2017.
Okay, there's nothing like taking a SoCal girl and moving her to Idaho in the middle of winter.
No question. It was that winter where it was like,
oh, was Snowmageddon?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot that was the year.
That was
And everyone's like, it never snows like this. I'm like, you're lying to me.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm okay with it. Keep telling my wife that, but I'm okay with it. We just, since Jump Street, I mean, we fell in love with Boise, Idaho, the Treasure Valley, Idaho itself. And it's really become home. Both our girls have been born here. It's become home for us. And since that time, my brother's moved out here. He's a fireman in Boise, Idaho. My wife's sister's moved out here. Her mom's moved out here. So
come
little
on,
by little, it's coming.
We love it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The first couple weeks we moved out here, and my wife still had California license plates on. But I tell you what, we got those fixed real quick.
Right, right.
Real quick.
Get that changed.
Yeah, you better believe it.
So my in-laws moved here. My brother and sister-in-law moved here. I think they just wanted to be around me. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly right.
But no, it's the same thing. Yeah, everyone loves it here. So your brother's a firefighter here.
Yes.
How'd that all come about?
So he would just, we're really close.
And oh, okay.
He went to Azusa Pacific as well.
So is he older, younger?
He's younger than me. Okay. Even though he's taller, better looking, he's younger
I've
than
me.
I've
got one of those younger brothers like that too.
Every time you're like, I bet your older brother. Nope, I'm 2 years older than him. He's got a great mustache too.
But, you've got to have the Boise Fire mustache. It's a given.
Oh, he's got a full bore. But he would just come out and visit. He dropped me off initially in Boise, Idaho when we first moved, first came out here. And then my wife came about a month later with the U-Haul and everything. So he just got to where he fell in love with the place. And even talking through with him when he was a fireman in San Diego. He's like, man, I'm thinking about, moving out to apply for Boise Fire. And I'm like, well, in this profession, I could move. I don't want to. I love this place. He's like, oh, I'm not moving just because of you. Like, that's an amazing place.
Right.
And so he moved out here, I think, around maybe 3 or 4 years ago, met his wife. They met at church. He just got married last June. And so he's been a part of Boise Fire now for, like I said, I think 3 to 4 years. And he's helping run the training division, and he's doing a great job.
That's really awesome. Cool. Well, kind of going back to football a little bit. I mean, everyone kind of knows your story. When you took over, there was a 0.1% chance of Boise State to win the Mountain West. And all you guys did was then win three games, win the championship.
Win, win, win. Yep.
How, I don't even know what the right word is, how gratifying was that? How cool was that? Can you walk us through that a little bit? What was that like?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, just even going back, and I've told this story a couple different times because it's surreal in a lot of ways. I mean, you go from, I was meeting with a recruit, and within, 30 minutes of that, you get a knock on the door and say, hey, the head coach has been let go. You're going to be the interim. You're going to meet with the team in 30 minutes.
Holy cow.
And so a lot of emotions are going through. Right. We had a great group of seniors that I loved and cared about. And these are 6-year seniors that I've been here with them the whole time, through COVID, through everything. And so I just knew in my heart, like, as much as my wife's calling me, like, what's going on? When that happens, all the coaches at that point are out of work. When the season's over. So you got to be thinking about, okay, where am I going to move to? What's going to happen? The players, the transfer portal now is open when a head coach has been let go. So there's a lot of reasons for people to look elsewhere, reasons to not be focused. And I just walked into the team and said, guys, I'm asking for 2 weeks. We only had two games promised to us at that point. Weren't bowl eligible, excuse me, yet.
Right.
And I'm like, guys, let's leave the legacy here. Let's control what we control. I'm asking for 2 weeks for coaches, for players. And let's let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to those players. And they just have a piece of my heart that I'll never give back. The coaches, too. I mean, like I said, instead of, focused on their resume and what's next and I got to look out for myself, the coaches went to work. The players worked their tail off. And like I said, they just kept doing everything they needed to, kept winning games. And so that championship game is for those players, for those coaches, and for Bronco Nation. I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, I give God all the glory because his hand was upon it. It is nothing I did. Those players never flinched. Those coaches never flinched. And you go from a moment of, what in the world's going on? I go home and say, babe, we got to start taking the pictures off the walls. We got to start getting ready for, what God has next for us. But we're going to finish this the right way. Uh-huh. I love these players so much. They mean so much to me. This place means so much to me. We're going to leave this the right way. and by the grace of God was able to win the championship, be blessed to be the head coach, and cannot be more excited.
That's just so cool.
I mean, I just loved you, you know, beating UCLA in the LA Bowl. That's fun to me. I really enjoyed that.
Well, okay, I know I'm being jarring, so we're going for football, but one of the things I want to ask you about too, being a girl dad, you talked about your two girls. So I have a son and a daughter, so I'm a girl dad too. Mm. How cool is that? How much has that changed your perspective and your life?
Oh, changed everything. I mean, it is one of the most gratifying things in the world is having kids. And those two little girls steal my heart all the time. It is, you know, it's funny, when we had Eleanor, her birthday is December 21st.
Okay. Christmas baby. Yeah.
So it's COVID 2020 and I'm in the hospital. You know, our first baby, it's a girl, you know, so nervous, name's Eleanor. We're all, and my wife has Eleanor.
Right.
And we're sitting there, and I think it's either that day or the next day. We're still in the hospitals when Coach Harsin leaves for Auburn.
That's crazy.
And I'll never forget being on the phone with him, getting off the phone. And then my wife's literally laying in the, you know, laying in the bed looking at me like, are we okay? And I'm like, I think so. I'm not really sure. I don't know how to answer this the right way. You know, and so it's just all those things with the coaching profession and what happened as your life is still happening at home.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what really, I mean, my wife, Rachel, is an absolute rock star. I mean, she is amazing. And so we had Eleanor in December of 2020, and then we had Rosie in May of 2022. And so she's going to turn two this May. And so we're,
cool.
I'm a full girl dad through and through. They come out to practice all the time. They know the players. They're chasing them around. They're tackling the pop-ups, you know, but it's just such a joy to see them grow up. And even then, that's where, you know, coaching these young men that are 18 to 23 years old, they're the future.
Sure.
And they're going to be the future for my kids, for everybody's kids, for this country, for this world. And so I tell guys all the time, and I think sometimes people think I'm just blowing smoke at them, but growing them as young men is everything to me. Because not only do I love them, I know that they're going to be the future leaders, politicians, lawyers, business owners. Not just, and a lot of them are going to play in the NFL, but even the ones that don't, they're going to change the world. And so it's building them as young men to be world changers, to be the best version of themselves. That's why I do what I do, and I care about them so much to continue to change the world.
Oh, it's such a huge responsibility that God's trusted you with to develop these young men and then also develop two sweet little ladies.
Oh, they like I said, I'm the best at tea party. I will dress up with the best of them. I'm like, I tell my players, like, I leave, and the best thing I love, you know, when I come home, how much those two little girls care about Boise State football? Not one bit.
Yeah.
They're not asking me how third down went. They're not asking me how recruiting is going. It's Daddy, play with me.
So, well, yeah. What a great perspective. Yeah, no, I did all the tea parties and stuff. Now, here's the thing, when they get older, so because now my son is off at college. And so a lot of nights it's, you know, obviously my wife and my daughter and me and our female dog or whatever. I'm like, we're watching the Gilmore Girls for like the third time. Can we maybe watch a game or something?
No question.
What is going on here? I live in a frat house. I have three teenage boys. Yeah. Like, I can't keep enough food. I can't do enough laundry.
It's Costco trips all the time.
Yes. Oh, protein, bulk.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's funny. Moana and it's Frozen and it's dress up. I mean, I'm full in.
Well,
I'm
heard not, you're going to sing Frozen later for us.
Oh, so. I'm in. Guys, I've got
it. Let it go.
I can do the dance almost, too. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Okay. So shifting gears again. Leadership. I want to talk to you about some high-level leadership stuff. To give you a quick background story. So when my kids were young and small, they both went to Siena Elementary, which is one of our schools here in West Ada. And third grade year, they had Judy Pierce. She was their third grade teacher. And she would have genius hour. And I would always joke, hey, it's genius hour. I'm going to go volunteer. Because at the time I was working from home. And so I would go volunteer and be in Judy's class. I say all that to say this. She was an amazing, as a teacher, she's one of the most amazing leaders I've ever seen in terms of, you know, you could tell she loved those kids, but when it was time to like knuckle down and get to business, that's what they did. I say all that to say this, I know you've had coaches, any teachers in your background that were like, man, that person, that teacher changed me for the better, or maybe it's coaches, but anything like that, because we're on the West Ada podcast.
Yeah, I'd say one of the first ones, and to go to football first, just because when I was in high school, I had a football coach named Chris Johnson. Went to Horizon High School in San Diego. Chris Johnson, he was amazing for me. Loves Jesus, but would hold you to extremely high standards. Like, you better be wearing exactly what you're supposed to be wearing. You better be doing exactly what you should be doing.
Right.
But we're still going to do it the right way. And So he really got me started on the hunt to like, maybe I want to coach. And he really got me thinking that way. Victor Santa Cruz, who I played for at Azusa Pacific, same way. Intense, tough, held high standards, but loved people, loved right. Jesus. And things that just really resonated with me. And how much, not only I saw that with other people's lives, I saw how much it impacted me.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw how much it made me a better not even talking football, just a better person, focused on the things that really mattered. In regards to a teacher, I had a teacher in high school named Miss Brown, and just how much she would take the time to check on me as a person. It wasn't just, she was a math teacher for me, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just turn this in, do this. It was, she would care about who I'm dating, what's going on at home. And all those, that really touched me because I knew she cared about me.
Right.
And so instead of just trying to get me through class, she took the time to really get to know me as a person and cared about me. And we still are in contact to this day. And it's those things for me that, once again, helped impact me to know if I'm ever in a role where I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, I got to make sure people always know how much I care about them. Because I really right. believe that it doesn't, no one cares how much you know unless they know how much you care, right? The old adage, but that sure. really truly right. is how I feel about it. And so those would be ones for me, especially from high school to college, that really set the example for me.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, okay, this is when I, if I ever get an opportunity to be in these sorts of situations, I want right. to do it like that. I want to make sure that I'm involved in their lives, that I believe that you can still hold extremely high standards
right.
and still love Jesus and still do it the right way, treat people the right way. And three things that I took from Bo Beatty, who is a football coach at Azusa Pacific, and I hold him true to this day, is the first, like, three things that I think about all the time that matter more than anything to me is, first off, love Jesus. Like, for me, I'm open about it. I will screw up more than anybody. I am not perfect, but my faith matters a lot to me. Like, my relationship with Jesus is a huge part of my life. Secondly is work hard. Like, I don't think there's any substitute for hard work. In this life, there's no easy way. And the only way to get to where you want to be is outworking people and outworking everybody you see. Like, that's, I believe in that. I believe in that with football. I don't care what industry it is. If it's in the classroom, into anything you are, I believe in hard work. And the last part is treating people the right way. Doesn't matter if it's a good day. Doesn't matter if it's a bad one. And the biggest leaders to me were ones that were authentic and they treated people at a high level no matter what. No matter if you won a game, lost a game, no matter if something went well or went bad, they still treated people the right way. Doesn't mean that you're nice and everything's happy-go-lucky, rainbows and butterflies all the time, but you knew what you were expecting. You knew they always held you to a high standard. And you knew they cared about you.
Right.
And I always think about when I meet people, whenever I leave that conversation, could be a hard conversation, could be an easier conversation, but I want them to feel motivated. I want them to feel like that I care about them in those moments. And so those are three things that over the years have really become who I want to be on a daily basis. And it's come from coaches and teachers and leaders in my life.
That's so cool.
Okay, so in a program, you have such good values and convictions for making a phenomenal coach and a developer of young men. In a large top-tier program like Boise State, how do you have that impact on all of your players? I mean, there's a lot of young men. You have a lot of coaching staff. Do you impart that in your coaching staff and let it trickle down? Do you try to make an effort to know each one of your players? Like, how do you implement that with fidelity across a huge program?
No, and that's always the question. I'm always looking to even find better ways to do it. In a football program, similar to all organizations, is there's little pods in this organization, right? In football, it's different positions. So there's 10 position coaches that have 10 different positions, and they all lead that position group the right way, academically, on the field, off the field. Now stepping into the head coaching role, the biggest thing for me is finding ways to, first off, empower these coaches. Hey, this is the vision. This is who we are. This is how we're going to teach. This is how we're going to connect. And then I got to continually find ways and be intentional in my time to continue to impact these young men off the field too. Seeing them on Saturdays, seeing them on Sundays. I take some guys to church. I see them at night. I take them to dinner because I need to see these guys outside of football because it's not just about football to
me. Right.
I love it.
Students and families, we are thrilled to inform you that all 58 schools within our district, including elementary and middle schools, are now actively participating in the West Ada Athletics and Activities Fundraiser.
Estudiantes y familias, estamos encantados de informarles que las 58 escuelas de nuestro distrito, incluidas las escuelas primarias y secundarias, ahora están participando activamente en la recaudación de fondos en beneficio de atletismo y actividades de West Ada.
In addition to the fundraising, it offers you the opportunity to win some incredible raffle prizes.
Además de recaudar fondos, tendrán la oportunidad de ganar premios increíbles en las rifas.
For details, please click the link in today's show notes.
Para conocer todos los detalles, por favor haga clic en el enlace de las notas del programa de hoy.
So in your opening press conference, Jeremiah Dickey comes out there and says, hey, we love this guy. He's looking for an innovator with character. You've talked over and over again about Jesus and what that means to you. Spencer, I'm a believer. I love hearing that. I'm a Jesus freak. But not everyone thinks the way I do or the way you do. But character, integrity, selflessness, why are those things really important to you and to the team that you're building and to the culture that you're building? Why does that stuff matter?
Yeah. And I'm open and honest with my team about those three things and that I love Jesus because I believe in also being authentic.
Sure,
and sure. I have to share with these young men who I am and my heart, my beliefs, because I want to be authentic with them. And I also know how much that's helped me in life, whatever you're in, as a teacher, as a coach, as a professional, things happen.
Right.
There's so many things that you can't control. So many things can let you down. Mm-hmm. The one thing for me that won't let me down is my relationship with Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Right? It's the only constant. And so I try and share these guys with, like, there's family members that will let you down. There's people that will always let you down. Work will always let you down. Or at some point, it's not going to go the way you planned it to. And that's just life, and that's okay. Yep. And it's how you respond to it.
Sure.
But
just
talking to the things that you can control. And like I said, one of those is my relationship with Jesus. The other part is just being authentic with our players, sharing them about me and how I work. So when someone comes to my office and talks about something they're going through, death in the family, struggling with maybe mental health, whatever it might be, which is everybody, there's these different avenues that I go through that I have used to help through the issues that I've been through in my life.
That's cool.
And so that's a big part of it to me. And at the end of the day, there's some players on our team that are excited about that and want to grow in that or maybe already have a relationship with Jesus and want more. Some of them don't.
Sure.
And I tell them that's perfectly fine too. I'm all about building character, building integrity. Those are the things we talk about with our team.
Right.
Because I don't care what avenue you go into in life, those are huge parts. And
right.
if you're not a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, it doesn't matter. If you're not doing the right thing when you're supposed to be doing the right thing, not the easy one, it doesn't matter. And your
right.
character and your class, we talk about that all the time with our team, is there's only one type of class, and it's first class. That's it.
Yeah.
Like when
yeah,
you're
yeah.
around people,
sure.
they should only
sure.
feel one way about you. It yeah. shouldn't be because I like these people and I don't like these. No, how you treat people matters, regardless of your religious affiliation.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yep. And that's we saw that this year with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh yep. talking about a mini revival, you know, amongst his team. There were 70 out of the 100 players or whatever, you know, were baptized during the season.
Cool.
And it's evident in the way they performed. And I think when you're developing character, you can't deny the characteristics of Jesus that shine through.
No question. You know? And I think that's something that I'm always upfront about, because growing up, I went to a small Christian school, and there was always, well, you know, you hear this growing up, oh, the Christian school is maybe a little bit softer, and they're the nice guys. It's like, you know, I want to treat people the right way, but I always make sure I'm upfront, like, no, there's, like, we serve a champion.
Yeah.
He was on the cross, but he also came off of it and rose again.
Yep. Yeah.
And it says in the Bible, too, run the race to win.
Yep.
It's not run the race and be average. It's run the race to win. And it doesn't matter what you are in. I talk to our guys about it all the time. In life, you have to win.
Yep.
If you lose too many times as a husband, you will get a divorce and things won't go well.
Right.
Starting with me.
Yep.
Right.
If you lose too many times as a father, your kids aren't going to want to be around you. If you lose too much at work, you're going to get fired. This is real life.
Right.
And so how you compete and work your tail off to win and all that doesn't mean that always happens. But it's how you learn from these failures and grow forward is life.
Yeah.
It's not being perfect. It's a process. And so those are the things that even regards to my relationship with Jesus, they come from the Bible. There's a lot of concepts in there that everybody believes, even if you don't believe in Jesus, that you still believe in those concepts.
Right.
You know, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the Bible. But that's a premise that I know a lot of people would believe in as well. And so those are the things that I want to teach our team, because I know it's going to help them in life, regardless what they want to do religiously. I know it's going to help them be a better person.
That's cool. Well, so other big topics, like, to me, work-life balance.
Yep.
It's
mm-hmm.
not an easy thing. But we've got teachers in this school district, we've got administrators. Whether you're a football coach or a multimedia specialist or whatever, work-life balance, it's hard to be sometimes where your feet are. How do you attack that stuff? How do you go about that when you've got a million things coming at you? How do you deal with that stuff?
Well, still working on it every single day. Yep. Like we were talking about, if you ask my wife, she'd say I'm for sure a work in progress with work-life balance. But I think of a lot of things. That's a great question, Ken, because those are something as coaches and as teachers, as in the business field, I know it's something you're always looking into, because any field that you're into, that you're passionate about, that you really want to exceed at, you're going to work a lot at it. You're going to be involved in it. I don't think anything that you're really passionate about, you can truly walk away from and not be thinking about. But the big thing for me that I'm working on is just being present. And so if I am at home, whoever I'm with, like right now I'm on this podcast, I'm all here. I'm working on being not thinking about the recruiting calls I got to make or different things I got to do. I'm right here. I'm present. When I'm at home with my wife and our girls, I'm present. I'm thinking about that Frozen dance that I'm about to do. Right?
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's roll. I'm not thinking about maybe the things at work or things I didn't do well that day that I got to fix. And so first off, for me, just being present and being very intentional with my time. I've heard a lot about times that it's not so much work-life balance. It's a blend.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm working to improve more, especially in my job. And I know for a lot of people's jobs is making sure my wife and kids come to work a lot, to see me at work, to have lunch, to can I steal 10 minutes here? Can I steal 10, 15 minutes here? To where our lives are blended together, my work and life away from work are blended. Because sometimes balance is hard. And there's different seasons of life for everybody where it can be more than others. Right now we have two young kids, so it takes a little bit more attention than it might. But at some point, you're always working for that. You're always working to find ways. Because at some point, I believe true success is not sacrificing in any area of your life. True success is not just for me winning championships. Although that's a huge part, and that's something I'm driven to do. But if I win championships, but I'm not the right husband, not the right father, not treating people in the community the right way, that's not success to me.
Right.
Sure.
Success is being elite in what you do, whatever profession you're in, but it's also being an elite husband, elite father, elite in whatever those things outside of your profession are. That's true success to me.
Sure.
It's hard. That's why there's not a lot of people that, everyone's working to find better ways to do it, just like me.
Sure.
But I think finding ways to blend those two together and being intentional and being very present in everything I do is the biggest things that I'm working on to improve.
That's very cool.
And the sweet gift of this time of your life when the girls are little is that they're not in school and they can pop over for lunch or a quick visit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do your wife and girls travel with you for games ever? Is that a possibility?
Yeah. So they come to the bowl game every year, which has been awesome. My wife comes to the away games. So that's been really cool to have her at the game, experience those times, and you're just able to steal more moments.
Yeah.
Even though we're getting ready for the game, there's stress of getting stuff ready. She's a part of it.
Sure.
Right? So it's not just, okay, this is me at work, and this is my wife and girls at home, and those are split. It's the same.
She's your partner.
She's my partner. We're walking, you know, hand in hand in this thing, and she is my rock, and she goes through these things with me. And so having her at those away games has been awesome. So she can kind of see me going through. Or if I'm stressing about something, she'll be that one, like, hey, we're good. This is, you know, how you doing? Can I get something for you? Just be able to kind of bring me back home.
If it's like my house, is like, hey, you need to chill out.
Exactly, man.
She'll give you the straight poop all the time, right?
She's like, she's like, why are you watching more film? It's Friday night. Haven't you had all week to do that? I'm like, I get it, babe. I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts.
That's great. Well, okay. I don't even know if I told you this, but I'm an old sports reporter. I've been to a million press conferences. This is what I did in a former life. Okay.
Awesome.
One of the things I noticed about you when I was researching this podcast, I was watching some press conferences. And I noticed you called reporters by their name. You looked them in the eye. So let me bring this back to teaching. My daughter's a junior in high school. And I remember towards Christmas, she came home and she was like, yeah, Dad, so-and-so, this teacher doesn't even know my name.
Mm-hmm.
Little things are big things, whether you're a football coach or a teacher. Did I peg that? Did I see doing that? And why is that important to you?
Well, exactly right. I remember when you're in class, you're going to school from middle school to high school to college, when a teacher, instead of you or someone in the back, when they can say, hey, Spencer, you had a question about that? You're immediately engaged. You immediately know that I'm more than just student ID number 10349, whatever it is, right? And so for me, I always was more connected with those teachers and those leaders that knew my name. It wasn't Bud. It wasn't Dude. It wasn't student. It was Spencer.
Right.
Because even if it's a small part, it was a big deal to me. So that resonated with me at a young age, really from high school to college, when teachers would know my name. And I'd see them maybe, you know, outside of even the classroom, and they knew my name too. Where you're seeing them walking around campus, it's like, hey, Spencer, how was this? And it's like, whoa, you remember what we talked about in class. You know my name, and you remembered. It wasn't just here to collect a paycheck. Like, I matter to you. And that's something that really resonated me because I know how that made me feel.
Right.
And like I talk about treating people the right way and how people feel when they leave being around you. So it's something that I'm working my tail off to. If ever I meet someone, is knowing their name and making sure when I see them again, it's not, bud, you, it's remember the name. And I try and be up front. If I forget it, I'm like, hey, I totally forgot your name. What's your name one more time? Because I don't want to, I want to be able to say, Ken, Katie, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because I know how that makes me feel. And I know it makes, yeah. there's an immediate connection for me when people have done that. And so no different with the media. We've got a great group of media in Boise, nice. Idaho. And even when we go to different away games and I meet with the TV, they're working their tail off.
Oh yeah,
they're doing all that, and you know that, Ken.
Right? Yeah, sure.
They're working their tail off on in regards to the research of both teams.
All of it, yeah,
and they deserve that respect. So whoever I meet, I want to, and I'm not perfect at it, but I want to. That's a small thing for me to show that me and you are connected. That I know who you are as a person, not just here's the media guy number one. It's it's connection.
That's cool.
Now, did
that's
you find cool. that a challenge going from Azusa Pacific, which is a much smaller school than right? You come to show up at Boise in 2017? You have a lot more names.
Oh, there's no doubt. I joke with people at Azusa Pacific. We'd play at a junior college that was right next door, and we'd play in front of 5,000 fans. And I felt like I was playing in the Rose Bowl. You know, I mean, I would be
getting. It is on.
I thought the nation was watching me. You know, eye black on the whole night.
Because
that's all you know.
Right.
That's all you know. This is college.
You're focused.
This is focused. I thought 12-hour bus rides to games was just what you did.
Right.
You know, that's just what it was. And so coming to Boise State, working there, I remember the first away game we went on. It's Friday before we leave, and I am scrambling, like, where is my game gear? Where's my polo? Where's my pants? Where's my shoes? And I'm running around like crazy, and I see Dale, our equipment manager, who does a phenomenal job. I'm like, Dale, where's my stuff? I cannot believe. He's like, no, Spencer, I've got it already packed. Like, we're rolling. I got it for you. And I'm like, whoa.
That's a thing?
That's
whoa. I remember I walked out of there like, I have arrived.
Yeah.
You know? And those are just those small little moments from, you know, small school football to Boise State, which is the big time that has been cool to kind of watch. But I never want to forget those roots, man. That's why I even tell young coaches, like, you better love this for, first off, developing people and love the game of football, not just because of all these cool things we could do because we're at Boise State, because it can't be your motivation.
Right. Well, it's funny. So along some of those lines, like, when I coached my kids, like Y ball teams, like third, fourth grade, like my daughter's Y ball game, like, the night before a game, I'm like so amped up. I'm like, oh, we're gonna press,
baby.
And we're gonna do all this. I can't imagine your job. I was a freak. My wife was like, Ken, go to bed, relax. I can't imagine. How do you handle the night before? How do you handle that stuff?
Working on it. I'm a working pro. No, I'm a high energy, passionate guy. As you're probably even feeling for this.
Sure.
So even in those nights before games, it's really the time for me, especially when I was the defensive coordinator, really go back through, kind of make sure that if there's anything I was missing, go back through my process. But at some point, you really just got to trust your training and trust the process. And so that's something that I've gotten better at. Not perfect yet. There's still a lot of later nights on a Friday before a game that I probably spend more to double, triple check things to make sure we're buttoned up. But it's something for me. I pray about it. I'm like, Lord, if I'm missing something, show me. But I just I really believe in processes. And it's not about the end product as much as continuing to fine tune your process and whatever it is. So instead of just letting the game, obviously in what we do, there's a winner and a loser and everybody knows if you did a good job or not. There's no gray area. Did you win the game? Did you lose? But even just if you win a game, there's a lot of things you could have done a lot better.
Right.
Just because you won doesn't mean you were perfect in your process. So I'm always looking at the process of how something occurs. And I think that's no different for whatever you do as a teacher or in the business field, whatever it is look at your process. Not always the end goal is how you're judged, but look at your process of how you prep to get to those moments, whatever it might be. And that's what I try and look at the most. So I'm always looking, if I follow my process the right way, then at some point let the chips fall where they may. And if it doesn't go well, let's see where maybe we missed it through the process. Did we overdo something, underdo something?
Right.
But focus on those to lessen a lot of the anxiety before a performance like we have on, you know, Saturday for the nation to watch. But just like in anything you do. There's always going to be those moments that are more stressful that you got to get ready for, and really focus on the process is a big deal for us.
Okay. I'm curious, like from a layman perspective, I've been married to my husband for 20 years. I've watched a lot of Saturday morning football, right? Walk me through what it's like for the team. Like you show up to your game. What is it? What does that process look like? What does a game day look like for your gentleman?
Oh, it is ironed out to about the minute.
Yes.
We'll just talk home game. So they stayed. They stayed at a hotel in actually Meridian, right down the street.
Oh, the night before a home
game. They stayed at a hotel just to kind of keep them all together. Yeah. Then we'll bring them on campus. We'll do a quick little walkthrough with them, kind of just tips and reminders on the game, offense, defense, special teams. And then they'll get changed. Then they'll go on campus. We'll have a pregame meal. Then we go through our Bronco walk, which is essentially the team walking to the stadium where Bronco Nation's there cheering
them on.
Love it.
And they're all dressed up. They're getting fired up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so that's just an awesome moment for our players. And then we walk across the blue, kind of just everyone getting their mind right. Then we go into our team room and we have a highlight video for them. And then from that point, it goes into pregame. So every minute of game day is really dialed in. No different on the road, even if wherever we're traveling, every minute's really dialed in from when they eat, when we walk through, and all the steps leading up to the game. Because once again, it's a process. I want our guys to get in rhythm with processes, to not every game something new. They know, hey, an hour and a half before kickoff, this is exactly what I'm doing, and they can fine tune their process too.
Follow West Ada School District across your preferred social media channels: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Nextdoor, and YouTube. You can find us there today.
Coach, every year West Ada establishes a theme for the year. And this year's theme is attitude over adversity, which I'm sure you have to, work right? with your athletes a lot on that. And the change up in Boise State coaching staff and things like that. It's just been announced that Coach Cutter's coming back. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about how attitude over adversity can help you succeed?
Yeah, I think that's awesome, because that's going to correlate to whatever you do, from football to being a teacher to any profession you're in. Because when I think of that, I think it's all about how you respond.
Yep.
Adversity is going to come to everybody, on the football field, off the football field, professional. Like, it doesn't matter. Adversity is coming for everybody. And so it's how you respond to it. And I think that's everything. That's what makes you who you are as a person. And now that is trained. Right. There's a lot of times where adversities come across my desk or things that have happened that I have not handled well. And I need to go back once again. I believe that true growth, it can only happen through failure. Yep. And when you screw something up, you're like, hey, how did I not do that well so I can grow the next time? That's the only way to truly grow. And no different with how you respond. Something could happen wrong on the field. Maybe you talk to someone in a certain way that you shouldn't. Could be holistically, but adversity comes. The attitude part of it, to me, I always think about how do you respond. That makes you who you are as a person, and especially as a leader, is everything. Because whenever something goes wrong, adversity hits, everybody looks to the leader first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And are they scrambling? Are they? And the one that you see a lot, are they pointing the finger?
Yeah.
Are they blaming people?
Right.
Or are they taking ownership and they're staying calm? And they're still setting that North Star for, hey, I know this didn't go well. Adversity struck. And maybe it was their fault or not, but they still take ownership for it. And they're still pointing forward. Hey, this is where we need to go. Someone taught me a long time ago in regards to attitude and adversity. The great leaders, when things go bad, they're a mirror. Everyone just sees them, right?
Right.
When things go well, they're a window. Everybody sees their community. Everybody sees who works with them. They're pointing the praise. When things go wrong, it's me. It's on me. It's my fault. I got to get it fixed. Because adversity comes to every organization. It comes to every household. It comes to every person. How you respond to it is everything. And then obviously building in those parts of yourself to handle adversity the right way is everything too.
That's really cool. Well, and along those lines, I mean, just the nature of big time football. You've got staff changes. You've got all kinds of changes. And to your point, as the leader, you've got to be the calm person going, okay, here's how we're going to navigate this.
Yep.
With Dirk Cutter coming on board, let me just explain how the sausage gets made a little bit here. We're not going to release this podcast for a few days now, but just yesterday we found out that Dirk Cutter's coming on as your OC. How cool is that? What was that process like?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, this is the life of a coach, just to give you guys a snapshot into it. So we played an earlier bowl game, so we had time off for Christmas break, but I knew going into it, with the transfer portal open, finishing the staff. And I told my wife and girl, I guess I'm going to be on the phone a lot and be working. But as a coach, there's the second signing day period in February that you take that week off. So I told my wife, I said, babe, that first week in February is coming. I promise you, when we get there, we're going to be able to take some time, relax, and all. And it's the Saturday before that week that I talk with Bush, who's a good friend of mine that I think the world of. He called me and said, hey, Spence, this is going on. And I called my wife, like, babe, that week off, just, so those are things once again, we talk about adversity and responding to them.
Right.
Okay, what's next? And going through the plan of process. And there's a lot of people, like Coach Peterson's a guy that I lean on a lot now, that I reach out to continue, like, hey, this is, and you got to have those people in your life that you can lean on, mentors 100%. That you can call and really bend their ear. Hey, this is what I'm feeling. Am I missing this? Is there another vantage point that maybe I'm not seeing that I should be seeing? And so just like, adversity struck, okay, we're losing our offensive coordinator. What's the plan and process? So right away, okay, my process going through it, and went through a slow process because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure I was very thorough from talking to everybody I could, potential guys that I'd either gone against or know, or, you know, obviously in that situation, a lot of people are reaching out and are interested in the job. It's a big time job.
Of course.
We got great players. We live in a great place, and I hold it in high regard. And more importantly, it's making sure whoever comes in that building, who they are as a person is everything to me. I will always sacrifice on maybe someone not knowing as much football as someone, but I will never sacrifice on who they are as a person, because they're going to be around these young men and they're going to impact them for life. And I will never sacrifice them. But I went into it with high standards. I knew that we wanted, obviously, an elite person, who they're going to be to develop these young men and make them the best version of themselves. Then it was a proven play caller, quarterback developer, and someone that continued to grow our offensive staff. And went through the process, talked to a bunch of people, went through the process from interviews to phone calls to Zoom interviews. And throughout the whole process, you know, been in the ears of Coach Pierce and talking to Coach Cutter a lot, because something, even initially, I was like, Coach, what do you thought? I think, and he's like, Spence, let's walk through this process. Let's walk through this. I'll be here. I'll be a sounding board for you in regards to your feelings and thoughts as you go through it. And going through the 2 weeks, came back to him and said, Coach, these are my expectations. This is what I need from you. I know you're the right fit. I know you're exactly what our players need. And I'm not settling for anybody but the best for our players. I'm not going to ever settle for anything less than the best for Bronco Nation. And that's exactly what I told him. I said, Coach Cutter, you're the guy. And he's like, I got to go talk to my wife. And, I'm retired, so I got to go. And
happy wife, happy life, all that
stuff. No question.
Right.
And because I knew in my heart, I was like, he is the best fit for our players, this place, and he's exactly what we need. It wasn't like, well, Coach, I think, he's like, I told my coach, you're the one. Nah. You're the guy for the job. You're the guy not only for right now, but also to help develop our offensive staff and the offensive schemes and our players for the future, even past this season. You're the guy.
Right.
And he came back and told me, Spence, I'll do it. Let's go roll. So
that's cool.
Can't be more excited. I think the world of Coach Cutter. I think the world of our entire staff. And so whoever we bring in that building, who they are as people matters to me. And then obviously the skill set they have to do an elite job is also paramount.
Wow. That's really mentor. Cool. I love that you bring up mentors. I had a mentor years ago tell me it's lonely at the top. At the top for a reason. Always have mentors to lean on. And I love hearing that as a Bronco Nation member. I love hearing that you still reach out to Coach Pete. You have your other colleagues that are good sage sounding boards for you.
It's huge. I mean, because whatever you step into, whatever profession you step into, there's always someone who you can bend their ear. That's maybe done it for longer or done it in a different way. Or maybe it's a true peer that you want to kind of talk about. I know for me, it's let me talk to someone over here because they're going to tell me some of the things they screwed up that maybe can help me not make those same pitfalls.
Right.
And I'm going to do the same for other guys. Hey, I know you're thinking of doing blank. I already did it. It didn't work. Yeah. Let me show you some of the things I learned along the way. Because once again, growth is all about learning from your failures.
Absolutely.
And responding, not blaming other people, not saying, well, I was, no, learn from it, grow from it, be a leader, take ownership, learn from those failures, grow, push forward, and help those around you. So I've got a good group of guys in my life, from peers to mentors, that I bend their ear all the time. And just in regards to football, could be leadership, could be life, could be how to handle discipline. And even the work-life balance topic we talked about earlier, I'm talking to everybody about that. Hey, how can I do this better? What are some intentional ways that you involve your family? Because, once again, success for me is excelling and being elite in all facets, not sacricing anything.
That's really cool.
That's so good.
I
was just going to say, on the mentoring and on providing advice, what about advice? We have a lot.
We
serve almost 40,000 students in West Ada.
That's awesome.
I have high school football players. We're in this world. Ken has high school athletes.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of parents, a lot of students think they're playing for a D1 scholarship and that's it. That's a very small percentage of our kids who will get there. So what kind of advice do you give to current athletes, student athletes in the K-12 system?
No, absolutely. First off, and I mean this, I think sometimes when I say this to people, they're like, oh, all right, Coach, like academics is everything. Guys that when someone tells me, Coach, I'm a competitor and you've got below a 3.0, you're picking and choosing when you want to compete. That's not 100%. An elite competitor to me. Right. And I say the same thing for our current players. Coach, I'm an elite competitor. No, you just choose when you want to compete because you're not competing in the classroom.
Right.
You're just not.
Very good.
You're taking that off. So for me, that's why we look at grades. Obviously, Boise State University is a big-time academic institution, but I want to know how you want to compete. Are you going to compete in all things? And so that's where grades are everything. If you're not over a 3.0, it's going to be extremely hard for you to be recruited unless you're a generational talent. And even some of those, there's a lot of question marks because separating yourself academically is everything. So at least getting over a 3.0, which shows that you have the discipline and the attention to detail to compete in the classroom, is a big part. So academics, still look at them. The first calls I make once I see the transcript is to the high school football coach or the high school coach in general. Regardless what sports you play, there's a lot of different, from 7-on-7 to different trainers that are out there, which are all good.
Right.
Play sports, be outside, stay off video games. Right? I feel like I'm on a soapbox. That's near and dear to my heart.
No, fresh air.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I just, like, guys, playing Madden's not going to make you a better football player. I'm sorry. Right. I'm just telling you, go out and play sports. Play every sport. I also tell guys, don't, I'm just a basketball player. No, play all the sports. Play all the sports. Become the best athlete you can be, which is playing all these different sports. I digress.
Love you. Sorry to interrupt you, but I love hearing you say that because, you know, 20, 25 years ago, I would have coaches telling me, no, play all sports. Yep. And sometimes I think that we've got this one mindset of, I'm only a basketball player. I'm only a baseball player. I love hearing that that's not true for you.
I just believe in the more sports you play, you become a better overall athlete, which as coaches, if we have a better athlete to coach and develop, it's our job then to work the fine tuning of making them a better football player from how they strike, how they get off blocks, how they run the football, how they catch it. But the better you are as an athlete, you're way farther along in regards to who we have to coach in regards to the ins and outs of a football player.
Right.
So play all the sports, become the best athlete you can. It also shows how you can listen and learn. So now I'm going from football to basketball to track or to baseball. There's a lot of different situations you're putting your body in, and we can see how you compete in all these phases. So for me, it's a big – and if it's not, maybe it's one sport for you. Play all the things you can, but know that the way you're going to be recruited is first off your transcript, and then the first call I'm making is to your high school football coach.
Yeah.
It's not from a trainer. It's not from a friend of yours. I want to know I want to talk to the coach who's around you every single day. And it's not about football. Or I promise you, if you play other sports, it's not about maybe those other sports you play. Is he the first one there? Coach, everyone, probably not going to be a fit for us. Because I want to find the cream of the crop in regards to how they handle their business in the classroom. And then how are they as a person? So I go through a long list of questions in regards to the character of these young men. And not yes and no. I want to, the question is he a leader? Every coach is going to say, yes. Mm-hmm. It's show me a situation where he led his teammates.
Right.
So then it has, all right, coach, he got hurt one game, and instead of, sitting off on the side, he was still, cheering on his teammates, bringing guys over. That's a story that I can grab, I can picture, and I can see him lead, right? Or, he got hit right in the mouth on a play, and he got right back up. He'll still grab a teammate of his, and whatever it is. But I never want to ask yes or no questions when I'm gaining information from these high school coaches about these athletes. But that's the next call. So. Yeah. If you don't have a good relationship with your high school football coach because you haven't been diligent with what you should handle, work on that.
Right.
That's more important than anything you do outside of it, is making sure that you're handling business with your high school coaches, because those are the calls we make. Because those are ones that are no different for the NFL. They call us, and they're not calling to say how good of a football player is blank. They want to know what's he like in all the other factors.
Right.
What's he like in the film room? How does he learn? How does he compete? What type of character does he have? What does he do? How does he handle his things when things don't go well for him? How does he respond to adversity? Those are the same questions we're answering. So long-winded answer to the recruiting, but the biggest things that I make sure guys understand is got to handle business in the classroom. That will never change. Got to handle business in the classroom. And it's all about how you perform for your high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about how you perform in and out. Now, I think, once again, I think playing 7-on-7, having a trainer, those are all awesome ways to compete and grow as an athlete. But how you compete for your high school matters. And I believe that is any sport you pick.
That's really cool. Well, then one other question I wanted to ask you about for our West Ada families. You know, the trend now is for fall sport athletes to get in there. And so a lot of times those fall sport athletes are giving up that last part of their senior year. That's the trend. That's where things are going. Where do you come down on that? I mean, because obviously you want to get those people in there and get them going. But how does that work in your world?
Yeah, it's become more and more. More and more you're seeing seniors that will graduate early and really come to our campus or other campuses and really forego that last semester of their senior year. I see it both ways. I know for us, them getting there for to have an extra semester to grow and develop,
right?
Learn the systems, the nutrition, the weight room. It's such a big jump for them in regards to having a shot to compete as a freshman.
Right.
That whenever we can, we try to. But it's I think every situation is different. Every student
it's that well-rounded life thing life. Too. Yeah.
There's been a lot of players that coach. I want to run track. I'm like, then you should. You should stay and finish out your senior year and run track as a senior for your high school. I think it's case by case. I know as a college football coach, it helps when we can have young men early enrollee, but there's also a lot of things that have to do with can you get the classes done in time? But it's also, are you ready? And sometimes families are like, coach, and a lot of times the moms are like, coach, I'm going to need a couple more months to be around my son until it happens. But a lot of it is case by case, and I want what's best for these young men. And if that's them finishing basketball season, running track, go do that. The last thing I would want you to forego that. Sometimes it is them to come early to Boise State or early wherever they go and hit the ground running.
That's great. That's great.
Coach, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for pouring into our, I'm going to get choked up. Thank you for pouring into our community.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for leading Bronco Nation. It's a pleasure to have you.
Great to have you here, sir. Thank you so much for all your time.
No, thank you. Katie, Ken, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for taking the time to listen to me. And like I said, I know there's a lot of things that I am passionate about and go through, but people's is number one for me. Bronco Nation, to our student athletes, to the West Ada School District that I'm talking to. Like, people matter to me. If I can ever help anyone in any way, please find me. We want to open our doors, our facility, to anybody who wants to come through and see it. Like, I want to open our doors because we are this community's team and not just their football team. Like, we're a part of this community too. And I want to help impact people because we are the teachers that I'm talking to, the coaches that I'm talking to. We are creating the world changers for the next generation. And every little thing we do matters. So I appreciate you guys.
I love it. You're firing me up. Let's do this.
Let's go. God bless you guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, well, who's ready to run through a wall right now? Because does that guy fire you up or what?
Totally. He's amazing. Like, I can see why he is head coach material. I mean, I'm ready to go out and buy my season tickets tonight and be at every single home game.
Well, we just appreciate him. And I hope that you all were able to glean some leadership things, some ideas about how to lead classrooms, how to lead your families,
we're sitting down as a family and watching this podcast together because I have three young men at home that need to hear what he has to share.
Very cool stuff. Well, thanks for joining us. As always, please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. If you listen on iTunes, rate us and leave us a review. And you can as well, you can go to YouTube and subscribe to us there, or go to westada.org/podcast and you can see all of our past podcasts as well. So
we're taking a little break. We have some great podcasts. Spring break. We have some great podcasts lined up for April, but we still have some room in the schedule. So we want to hear from you. What do you want to learn about? Who do you want to hear from on this podcast? Share with us. What kinds of things are you journeying through as parents of West Ada students? And just reach out to us and share your thoughts.
It is great to be on this journey with you, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we'll see you next time.